Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with my good friend Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan.
This is a very special Halloween episode. We're going to be talking about all things Halloween this week, and I want to give a shout out to our great sponsor, responsibility.org. We've worked with them in the past, and you can find the other posts and podcasts that we've done with them in the past. They're a great sponsor, and we'll talk a little bit more about responsibility.org and their mission a little bit later when we dig in. But first, I'm going to let Sarah take over for a minute to do our semi-regular, irregular, getting more regular segment.
Yes, perfect. So every once in a while, we like to just highlight a product or a website or something that's making our lives easier as moms. We do this highly irregularly, as you said, but we're getting better. So mine this time is, and I have no idea what yours is, Megan, but mine is actually not a specific product, but it is a method for roasting pumpkin seeds, since we're talking about Halloween. So I love roasted pumpkin seeds, and I always remember having them growing up, like after we carved pumpkins. But I feel like I have never been able to do it really well myself. They were always kind of chewy. Mm. And if you Google it, there's like so many different methods. And for a few years, I was going by when they said, a lot of people would say, leave the pumpkin guts kind of on there. It gives them like a good flavor, and you get the pumpkin flavor and all that. Well, last year I tried something different, and I soaked the pumpkin seeds overnight, and then I spread them out on a paper towel on a cookie sheet and let them completely dry, which sounds more high maintenance, and it is, but they were the best I've ever made them. So I don't have a specific recipe, but I'll share a picture from last year because they just look so toasty. I think getting that excess moisture out of them, letting them dry, just made them really crispy, and they didn't have that like chewy, fibrous texture in your mouth.
Know what you mean, and it's a little gross, and I've been doing it leaving the pulp on too, just because, I mean, it's easier
for one thing. For sure,
and I'm always doing it the last minute too, I feel like, but I don't, I mean, with a little, you know, it's, who says it has to happen on Halloween anyway? It could be the next day.
Yeah, it totally could, and I'm all for easy when it makes sense, but something last year made me just try this. I had read it somewhere, so I soaked them overnight in water and then spread them out on a paper towel, like on a cookie sheet, and let them completely dry. And then, you know, once they were really, really dry, then you can roast. I mean, I really honestly think whether you do olive oil and salt, or some have butter and paprika, I mean, that part is kind of whatever you want. And then even the roasting temperature, I was looking at some recipes that say 300, some say 4. I don't know that's more of like a how toasty do you like them and how fast you want it to take. So, but if you're looking to try it this year, try soaking them in water overnight and then getting them super, super dry before you do whatever's next. I think we usually do like olive oil and sea salt, but they were so good last year.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Because I felt like they haven't been the pumpkin seeds of my youth, you know? I'm not getting that effect, and it's very chewy
I'm the main one in my house who really likes them, so it's sort of like become a challenge for me to just make them really yummy. And last year they turned out really good.
Cool.
So.
Nice. Okay. Well, I have to apologize a little bit because my voice is very froggy. I'm getting over a cold. So just so everyone knows, I sound like a pack-a-day smoker right now. But scary Halloween voice. So my Halloween-related product, I guess, of the week is actually a website. It's one that we've worked with in the past, and it's One Step Ahead. And I was just happened to be on their site. They have really cute kids' costumes.
Super cute.
Cute and really well-made. And I happened to be on their site, and, like, most of them are 75% off right now. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday or Wednesday, you'd have to do, you know, 1 or 2 day shipping to get it by Halloween. But you might also stock up for next year.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Especially if you're a family that likes to hand costumes down, which our family does. They're just really well made, and some of them were like $10 or less. And they're
that's amazing. You
know, they've got some Frozen stuff. If anyone's still into that, I don't even know. and different accessories and stuff. So it's onestepahead.com, and that's a good place to check out if you need a costume real quick, or you want to just get.
It's a great idea to think about.
Oh, they have cute treat bags too.
Yes,
really cute treat bags. Yes. They're well made and will last from year to year, so you don't have to use a plastic shopping bag or whatever.
That's a great one. We have a couple of costumes from there, and you're right. They are really well made.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool. All right. Well, we're just kind of going to talk about Halloween today.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of ground to cover. I do want to throw another shout out to our sponsor, responsibility.org. It is an organization that's dedicated to helping, I guess, families make responsible decisions that have to do with alcohol use. So it's definitely, you know, not like a big downer, like, you know, don't ever have a drink. It's right. definitely more like how to talk to your kids about alcohol, how to use it responsibly in your home. And Sarah and I have worked with them several times in the past. And it's funny because, you know, people don't really think of Halloween as, you know, for adults as a drinking holiday. But there was actually a bunch of press last year about how now Halloween has become, you know, like a big adult
party.
And it's interesting because in our house, Halloween is an adult situation as much as a kid is for kids. But usually we have a big adult party on a different night, not on Halloween night. This year, Halloween happens to fall on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're doing both. So we could talk a little bit about that later after we kind of get into it. I kind of have a middle of the road as I tend to, you know, point of view about this and almost everything else in the world. So I'm sure we can get into that discussion a little bit later. But I know you've got a whole bunch of topics you want to cover.
Yeah, so no, definitely. And just before we launch into those, what's the best? It's responsibility.org is the actual website people can check out. And we will include that in the show notes.
I think that's the best place just to go there to find out what they're all about.
Yeah.
And they've got great articles and resources.
Yeah. And they do a lot of research about, you know, kids and talking to your kids about alcohol. And so definitely check them out, and we will link to that in the show notes, which are always at themomhour.com. This is episode 25. Okay, well, I kind of thought it might be fun to kind of go through the ages and stages. I know our listeners are everything from brand new moms all the way up through like teenagers like you have. So Halloween is so different, and parenting in Halloween is so different as you kind of move through those stages. Yeah. So I thought that might be kind of fun to just kind of go through the stages and talk about the things that come up with different age kids.
Yeah.
But first, why don't you just tell us how you guys celebrate as a family? Because I know this is a big holiday for you guys.
Well, it is. Okay, so it's changed over the years, obviously. Like you were just saying, ages and stages. I remember the first year. I've always loved Halloween. First of all, I love the time of year. So just being outside on a fall, you know, in a crisp fall night, I love, although last year it was a little crispier than I would have liked. It was bleeding and terrible, and we ran down the street with the kids. It was awful. But anyway, usually it's a pleasant night. Kids don't need to wear, you know, maybe like a little jacket or hoodie or something. So I loved it growing up. It was also one of those holidays growing up that was kind of just, not a free-for-all isn't the right word, but it was sort of, we didn't plan a lot in advance. We put up some decorations. And then on Halloween, my mom would just pull out this big basket we had, or like, you know, like a bin we had full of costumes, and we would just decide on the spot what we were going to be. So there wasn't a lot of stress around it or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll be pulling out pieces. Like I'd throw a wig on and, you know, something else and a dress and put some makeup on or whatever. And then we would go out. And I remember, especially when my brother and I were old enough to go out on our own, which my brother was 4 years older. So it was pretty, I was pretty young.
Right.
And kids did that more in those days, I think too. So like, I think I was maybe 6 or 7 the first time I went out without a parent. And just that feeling, you know, I know trick-or-treating has always only been like 1.5 or 2 hour thing in different towns, but it felt like we were out for hours.
Right.
You know, it just felt like we had run of the town. And I just remember that feeling of freedom and being out with all those other kids. It was awesome. So I have such good feelings about it. And then my husband ended up, he and his brother ended up working on this like epic yard hunt that they built over the years, and it ended up featuring a pirate captain ship with like animatronics. I mean, it was crazy. We were those people who had the crazy yard. Now my brother-in-law Scott has moved away. He lives in the East Coast now, so we're not doing it this year. But that became kind of a big part of it too. So anyway, just kind of the way we do it now is we always have a party for our family and really close friends. And that usually falls the weekend after or weekend before, depending on where Halloween falls. And then trick-or-treating is just about us and our kids. And sometimes we'll get together with Jenna and her family, my sister-in-law and brother. And sometimes not. Sometimes we just do it with us. And it's getting kind of like a little sad now because the teenagers now aren't, you know, they don't want to do that anymore. And they want to hang around the house. But it used to be all of us together out, you know, trick-or-treating. And now it's not really like that anymore. So it's changing. I'm trying to have a good attitude about it, I guess.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it is just as you got everybody in the same trick-or-treating procession.
Yes.
Then they go and grow up.
I know.
Aww. What about you guys? I feel like we don't have maybe as much attachment to the holiday, or we're just still finding our way, I guess, because my kids are younger. But I also loved it growing up. I mean, really loved it. I feel like it was just, it's always fun. And yeah, great memories of trick-or-treating. But in our family now, my husband's birthday is October 30th. Okay. So happy birthday shout out this week to my husband. And it is really, at this stage that we're in right now with young kids, it is very overshadowed by Halloween. It's almost worse. It would almost be better if it were on Halloween, because at least by that day we're celebrating and festive. Right. But I feel like the day before Halloween is kind of like the flurry of costumes, or we're usually trying to carve pumpkins because I've lived in hot weather places. You can't really carve until a day or two ahead because they rot on your porch. So I feel like we're always carving pumpkins on Brian's birthday and getting ready for crazy Halloween at school the next day. So that's kind of a funny little piece of art. Last year, his cake, I think we celebrated on the first or second day after Halloween, and his cake had leftover Halloween candy on top of it as decorations.
Oh, like, my gosh.
That's not that's a sad so emblem. So of course he's a good sport about it. But so that's kind of where we are with it. We love to carve pumpkins and get into that and do the trick or treating. So we're in a great neighborhood for trick or treating now.
That's nice.
And
that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And I think we're just hitting this year Violet's, well, she's not almost three, but she's getting closer to three. So they're almost three, five and seven, which I feel like we're getting to prime trick or treating. I mean, she definitely gets it this year, although she calls it candy riding. She couldn't remember the name for trick-or-treating the other day. And she said, when we go Halloween candy riding.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Now that's where we've picked up that one. But
Do you remember your first Halloween with Allegra?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you make a big deal about it?
Well, yeah. And that's actually something I was going to share. We did. I had friends with babies. But the funny thing about babies is they don't stay up late and they don't go trick-or-treating. And you kind of realize, like, the costumes are so cute. And you get the catalogs starting in, like, August, or now you do. Like, they come to your house magically. And so she was a monkey. She was about 6 months old and dressed up as a monkey. And she had just learned to sit up independently. Mm-hmm. So it was really, like, all the pictures were really cute because she was this chunky little fat monkey. But one of the things we did that first year, my friends and I who had babies, is we did a brunch potluck instead of doing a nighttime thing, because obviously the babies didn't care about staying up late at night and they had bedtimes and whatever. So we dressed them up in their costumes during the day and had a little like play date at the park. And it was really fun. And that became a tradition for a few years. So I was going to throw that out there for new moms as a tip, because it's so fun. But then you realize, like, wait, they're not really ready to do Halloween in the way we remember. So.
Right. Yeah.
How about you with your babies?
Well,
did you have
with Jacob,
had two babies at Halloween almost, right?
Yeah, Jacob was a year old because he, you know, his birthday is in a couple of weeks. So he was almost a year old for his first Halloween. And, you know, I think the town we were living in then, it started at 6, trick-or-treating.
Okay.
So we took him out.
Yeah, that's
And we took him out, you know, maybe like three blocks because we were carrying him. And he was dressed up like some kind of wildcat. I can't remember if it was a lion or a tiger. He was adorable is what he was. And we have pictures of like just taking him house to house and standing there with him just so people could look at our cute baby. I mean, that's really what it was all about. I didn't want their candy, you know. It was like, hey, look at my baby in a costume.
I love it.
Yeah. And then it was so funny because Isaac, when he was a baby, so he was a couple of months old when his first Halloween, like a month and a half, not even a month. He was like a month old. Let me think about that. Yeah. He would have been just about a month old. So I had him in a sling. And the funny thing is we lived in an apartment complex at the time. So we just walked through the halls and went to each door. But I had been nursing him and forgot to button my shirt back up. I don't know if you ever had any of those, like where you answered the door and your shirt was unbuttoned or whatever, but I went all around my apartment complex with my shirt unbuttoned and my nursing bra flapped down.
And a toddler and a newborn.
I'm sure I looked, you know, a fright. Like, I'm sure people knew exactly what was going on with me. I was like, I was dressed as sleep deprivation that year.
Which is scary in its own special way.
My hair was kind of like probably like puffing out of a ponytail and all unkempt and, you know.
A zombie mom.
I probably had a big like milk stain on my shirt, but so that was my second one. And then my second baby. And then the year after that, we were traveling. My husband was working in Virginia for some reason, and we ended up going out there and we forgot it was Halloween. Like just forgot because it wasn't a thing. Like we weren't really, in that phase yet where I was really thinking about it.
And yeah,
it was
and like, if your kids aren't in preschool or daycare and they're don't have the outside access.
And our and because we, I was traveling, I was just, everything, my schedule was off and my calendar was off, and there wasn't Facebook yet to tell me and Pinterest and Instagram to remind me of this stuff. So it was like a Tuesday or something. I forgot all about it. And then we ended up remembering and we had to run to the store. You know, we didn't have to. The kids never would have known, but I felt like such a terrible mom. So we ran to the store and got them some clearance rack, you know, dumb costume. And then we took them to the mall because we didn't live there. We didn't know where people went trick-or-treating. So we just took them to the mall for trick-or-treating.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was fine. It was – honestly, I probably worried about it more than I – needed to. I probably just could have sat that one out, but I had this compulsion. And since then it's been, you know, it's become a lot more like mine. You know, we kind of, we put a little more thought into it because we do have the big party and because of my kids really want to have a costume picked out that's like important to them. But I wouldn't say it's something that we stress a lot about. It's just, you know, we just kind of wing it and it's fun every year.
Oh, I love it. So, I love it. So we talked about babies. Did any of your other baby, did you have any other awesome baby costumes? A lot of your babies were born around this time of year.
Yeah. We had a dog costume that every one of my kids, William, Owen, and Clara, wore at least twice.
Nice.
So, and I didn't like, so it's got the floppy ears and it goes up over their heads. And then I would always draw like an eye patch.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've seen a picture.
I'm going to see if I can find pictures of all three of them. I know I have a picture of William and Owen. Clara is actually in that one of all of my kids and she's crying. She was super unhappy that year. I think that she was about two or like a year and a half then.
Yeah.
And she was not happy. That Halloween at all, but they, it was adorable. And that was kind of a fun tradition because, you know, not only do I have these cute pictures where they're all wearing the same thing, but I didn't think about it, which sometimes like that 2-3-year-old costume age range is hard to find a good costume because they sell out really fast.
Well, and, or they don't want to wear it.
Or they like, don't want to wear it.
If it's, that's the age of like, if it's uncomfortable or they don't like anything on their head or their, you know.
Anyway. This actually kind of just went on like a hoodie almost. It was nice. And then I will say the older kids, Jacob and Isaac, and to some degree Will and Owen, were ninjas at least twice each on their own. You know, we had this. We had the band of costumes. We pull it out, and there's all these pieces, these cloaky things, and these capes and stuff. And somehow, someone always wanted to be a ninja, and I fear that that is over now. I think everyone's gotten a little more creative and specific, and I don't have any kids now who are just like, yeah, whatever. I'll just throw on this ninja costume.
Right.
So, another era.
I know, the era of the ninja.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to mention before we move on from babies that we've talked about our friends at rookiemoms.com before, but they have done some great baby Halloween and toddler Halloween costume ideas that are based around pajamas. And I think they've done a few of these posts and we'll link up to those. But if you do have a little baby or a toddler and you're not going to be out super late or doing a big thing, they have all these costumes ideas that are based around a pair of pajamas. So in other words, like you wear your pajamas and you add a tail or whatever.
Yeah.
So cute,
that's nice.
Cute ideas. So we'll link to that in the show notes. So, so let's kind of move on. I have a few things to say or bring up about toddlers and preschoolers, just because that's been my life over the last couple years. But I feel like Halloween gets kind of challenging in those ages for a few reasons. And one is being fearful. Have you had kids who were afraid at Halloween time? I know I have.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, I don't know that they were afraid, like crying when they saw people in costume. I think some of them were more anxious about the whole thing than others.
Yeah.
Some of them just plain didn't really want to do it at that age.
Right.
And that's tough when you have other kids.
The all-out refusal is another.
Right. And that's tough when you have other kids, you know? I mean, I guess you can always leave one kid home with mom or dad to hand out candy while the other kids go out or whatever. But, I mean, I just feel like for us, there was definitely at least a couple of them who just kind of were like, nope, not doing, like Clara that year. And I think we did end up just leaving her at home with, I think, with John, which is fun because, I mean, I guess you can always tag team. But the fear thing, and I know you wrote that great post about it last year. I don't remember there being like a direct Halloween fear in any of my kids, but I could just be blocking it out.
Well, so my oldest was super fearful of anything inanimate that was animated. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Remember Tickle Me Elmo? Remember when that was big? So she was afraid of Tickle Me Elmo. That just gives you – so anything that was like moved by itself and had batteries was terrifying. And I think – I don't think she's the only kid. I think that's fairly common, but it was pretty extreme. So her second Halloween, she would have been like 18 months. So I feel like that year – and probably even the next year, like 1.5 and 2.5, It was like the yard displays, like the things where you walk up to the front door and something starts tackling at you was just terrifying. So I think probably what happened for me as a mom is then I became like really aware of those things because I had two straight years of, you know, having to like deal with a freaking out toddler. Right. And I don't know that anybody else was that sensitive, but I do know that like both Allegra and Reed, I feel like more in the 3 and 4 year old range would get kind of into it where they'd kind of like the scary stuff, but there's always that point where usually it's like a bad dream. Like they have a lot of fun with it, but then they have a bad dream about it or just almost like, you know, like the thrill seeking, like really into it to a point, and then you can just kind of see their eyes get big. And, you know, I feel like we've always had some bad dreams around Halloween time. So I think it's just something to be aware of. And it's harder, especially if you have older kids and you're going out and, you know, trick or treating and stuff, and people get into the scary stuff. You have to be a little protective if you have sensitive ones. I have one really funny story about that real quick, which is when Allegra was probably 4, maybe 3 and a half. She was finally kind of over all that and was super into Halloween and trick-or-treating that year. Had a blast. We got home, she was having her candy, and she'd done really well. Just, you know, wasn't afraid, really confident, had so much fun. And the doorbell rang, and she was so excited to answer the door for the trick-or-treaters because we had just been out around the block and we'd come home. So she runs to the door and opens it. And of course, it's like 3 or 4, you know, 12-year-olds in like the most hideous masks. You know, the masks that they're like, she just stood there and like ran away and cried. It was like she'd come so far in that fear. And then, of course, the one group of kids she answers the door to is like the most terrifying thing. We felt so bad. And she was so excited. She like ran. But
do your kids – now, how do you guys handle candy in your house? Do your kids swap it? Do you, you know
– I usually let them go at it for that night, you know. Like when they get home, just go at it. And sometimes even the next day, I'm like too tired to put any structure around it. Right. And then every year my rules change a little bit, but I would say either November 1st or November 2nd, I do a couple things. One, the candy belongs to me and I keep it in the pantry or somewhere out of sight. And we've usually had like some kind of rule I make up. Sometimes it's like you can have 5 pieces in a day and you can have them whenever you want. But once you've had your 5, they're done. Mm-hmm. And they'll literally like eat them after breakfast and then they're just done. And that one worked well. I even had, I think 1 year I had them pick them in the morning, pick your 5 and put them like, you know, up on the counter or someplace where you know where they are. And then don't talk to me about it. Eat them whenever you want. And when they're gone, they're gone. So I've done it that way. You know, we've kind of done like, maybe it was like 1 piece after lunch and 2 after dinner, but I usually do get pretty structured about it. And then I just kind of cross my fingers and hope that after like a week or so, that just no one cares anymore. I feel like all the good stuff's gone by then. And I think the key to, at least for me, is to keep it in my possession and out of sight. Because if it's in a big bowl, I feel like it's a constant, you know, can I have one more? So I don't know. How have you guys handled that?
Well, you know, I was just going to say, like, I don't know if kids just aren't getting the same kind of hauls as they did when we were little. I feel like my Halloween candy lasted forever. Of course, this is remembering, you know, I'm thinking back now 30 years. So who knows how accurate my memory actually is. But I feel like my kids are out of good candy by, like, the second day. Like, especially when you consider the mom tax was what I call it when I steal, like, their Kit Kats and Hershey bars and stuff. So the mom tax is always takes a little bit of their chocolate. And then, you know, I do the same thing. Like, I let them have a free-for-all that night, and they like to spread the candy out and trade. I remember doing that, sorting everything out into piles and then trading. And then the second day, you know, depending on whether they have school or not, sometimes if they have school, it's not really that big of a – you know, it's not really an issue because by the time they get home, there's just not that much candy consumption time left in the day. And then by the third day, we've got it all dumped and consolidated in a bowl, and it's like Mary Jane's and candy corns. I don't think – I feel like we just run out. And that might be having teenagers who – are probably also stealing from their siblings' buckets and stuff. So, or just, you know, asking, and the kids are too afraid of their brothers to say no or whatever. But I just don't think, like, it's not really a thing anymore. And
I do feel like maybe not all kids are this way, but I do feel like after the age of maybe 7, 8, I feel like even kids get a little better at self-regulation.
Yes, I agree.
Like, I think it's the toddlers and the preschoolers, and certain kids more than others, but that just would eat themselves into oblivion.
Yeah. We don't usually go out for the whole trick-or-treating time either. I mean, unless when the kids are big enough to go on their own, like this year, you know, maybe we'll do 30 minutes with them and then come home, and then the big kids can kind of go back out if they want. Mm. But we'll only do like a 30 minutes. So Clara's not going to have that much candy. It's just right. not going to have it, you right. know? So it's not, I feel like it's just not as big of a deal as I feel like every year it's going to be this big thing and it's not.
Yeah. Well, and I think it probably depends on like what your triggers are as a mom too. Like I don't actually have a problem with some sugar consumption. Like that's okay with me. But what I don't like is the whining and the asking over and over yes. again. And then the renegotiating, like, well, you said I could have 3 pieces and no, and then having to keep track of what they've had.
Yeah. The so, policing is the worst.
For me, that's my motivator. But for some people, you know, the sugar or the health factors are really the primary thing, in which case you can do like the trade-in or like, you know, some people like the Halloween fairy comes and the kid gets a toy the next day and the candy's just gone.
Right.
So I think how you handle it is probably, you know, kind of depends on what your trigger points are, or what your like highest priority is. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I know people who do the candy fairy and what they call it, the candy fairy, where
yeah,
the Halloween
like
fairy.
That.
Stuff like that. It's just, it's never been that big of a deal for us. So it's never yeah. been something I felt like we had to do that for. Maybe I'd feel differently if my kids were really little and I was concerned about, you know, the sugar to weight ratio or something.
Right.
But by the time I was even kind of aware of those things, my kids were already bigger. So it just right. never really was a thing.
Yeah. I if it's been like a week of, you know, too much sugar, and sometimes with Halloween that happens, like if they have stuff at school and right. then a party and then this, it's more like over the course of a week. And then I'm just like, okay, we're yeah. done with the sugar, but it doesn't bother me for those 2 or 3 days post trick or treating. So
speaking of the Halloween parade, it's funny that Sarah and I were texting about this the other day, cause we record on Fridays and
yes.
you know, this week we'll be recording on Friday, which is
the 30th.
The 30th. And our kids will all have some kind of Halloween parade. And we actually discussed the Halloween parties last week or 2 weeks ago when we did the,
yes. Oh, being at school.
And I admitted that I usually just sneak in, you know, watch the kids walk by from right. the hallway in the parade, and then I dart back out. But this week I might actually not go. I might have John go, which would be new for us. I've always been the one, just no, for no real reason. I've just always been the one who's gone. I don't think he's ever been at the Halloween parade. So
I totally am like not going to the, it's my kindergartner who has the parade on Friday, but he's at the same school that he was for preschool. So it's their parade. And I'm totally skipping out for the second year in a row and sending my husband. But like I told you, when we were talking about it, I drop him off and pick him up at school every day. Right. Having daddy go to school is like a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And Brian's taking the day off that day because it's his birthday and his mom's visiting. And so I feel like sending them is almost more special than me being there. And it's like 10 minutes of, you know, parading Iron Man's and Elsa's. And I don't know, I guess I feel a little guilty, but not enough to change up my Friday.
Not enough not to talk to me.
Our elementary school does not wear costumes at all to school. Huh. So they don't have anything at the elementary school, but you guys do, right? That's the parade.
Yeah, we do. It's toward the end of the day and there might not even be a conflict. I'm just assuming there will be, so John can do it. it's just in the mood for John to do it this year. And like you said, I mean, I see the kids we do the dropping off. Generally yeah. speaking, I am with them more, you know?
Right.
So
right.
it's more of a big deal and I'm more present in the school. It's a bigger right. deal for John to come and,
right.
So yeah. And even if not, I mean, I just don't, it doesn't really, I remember, so Jenna, my sister-in-law, is a teacher, and mm-hmm. she took a year off after having at least 2 of her babies. I don't know if she did with the third. But I remember, like, the year she went back and couldn't go to the school parade, I thought, oh, does she feel really bad about that? And she's like, well, no. I mean, you just know when you're a teacher, you can't leave your teaching job to go to the other school
right.
to do something with your kid. Like, that's just right. not realistic. And she's like, no, it's not really a
yeah.
thing. I don't think she felt bad about it at all. It's like, oh, okay. I guess I don't
yeah.
need to feel bad about it either, so... Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think it's interesting that more elementary schools, I think, are moving away from celebrating Halloween at school at all.
That's interesting to me. I would have thought maybe the no costume thing is just for logistics.
I think it's partly logistics. I think they also don't do any food or sweets. So there's no there's no classroom parties anymore at all in our elementary school.
Oh, wow.
In fact, last year, I'll have to dig up this email because I totally Instagrammed a section of it from our teacher last year. And it was like, tomorrow is a normal, it was like the day before Halloween. Tomorrow is a normal day. Your child will not be in costume. There is no part. It was just the way it was worded. It was like, wow, just in case you thought you were going to have fun tomorrow. Yeah, I think it's some logistics. I don't know. I don't know if there's like a religious aspect to some people not celebrating or
maybe.
Feeling, I don't know, but
you know, it seems like a lot of places get around that by doing a harvest or some kind of, I mean, no classroom parties feels a little harsh to me. You don't have to have sweets for it to be a party.
I know. I agree.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be directly tied to a religious or secular holiday either. It could just be a time of year or, I mean, I feel like that's part of what makes life special.
I know. It's pretty, it is pretty strict at our school. Now, I will say our elementary school does their big fundraising, huge carnival around Halloween. It's called Boo Bash, and it's usually the week before, and the kids wear costumes to that. It's after school, so it's not during school. And that just happened this past Friday. And so I think the kids do feel like they've seen their friends in their costumes and they've celebrated Halloween, and it is really fun. I mean, it's a great event. So, but yeah, the day of Halloween at our elementary school
is a regular day.
Gosh darn it. So that brings up, I wanted to ask about your big kids going off by themselves, and you talked about doing that because, that's like beyond where we are. So talk about how that's happened and, we've talked about safety and kind of stuff before on this show, but
I think, first of all, it kind of has depended on where they fall with their sibling and if they have someone to buddy up with or a cousin or something. So I want to say I started letting them all do that around the age of like 10. And if you happened to be 8 and your brother was 10, you could maybe do the block by the house. But, and then like, I've just kind of like let them, slowly start to branch out more. It helps that there's not a lot of traffic around us. It's a pretty small town. They don't have to cross any major intersections or anything to get to houses. So that's one of my concerns, honestly, because, we live on this main drag through town, and I mean, it's a small town, but still, this is like the busiest, we live on the busiest street in town.
Right.
And last year when we had our, when we had the big haunt out front, people were stopping in front of our house to look at it. Well, you can't stop on this street. Like, someone was going to get, you know, rear-ended hard. Because there's no place to pull over, you know, it's like, it's just a street and there's no parking. So that and like watching people drive kids in like really busy neighborhoods door to door makes me really freak out. So like, I've always kind of had the rules where kids, you have to, if you're going to be, you know, you have to stay on the sidewalk, no like darting back and forth. So it's always had to be when I feel like they can handle that. And some kids handle it earlier than others. Owen was a darter. And I remember having one of the most epic meltdowns of my life on a Halloween night when he saw a house he liked and just took off. Like I think he was like maybe 5, maybe. And I'm walking down the street, you know, holding Clara. She was little.
Right.
And he just ran across the street, and there was no car coming at that moment, but there was so many cars because there were so many people driving their kids around, which I have issues with too when it's that busy. It's like, there's so many kids around. Just park your car. It's nice.
Right.
You know, you don't need to be driving right now.
Right.
And he darted, and I screamed at him. Like, I look back now, and it was one of those utter freak-out mom moments where something triggered me really hard, and I flipped out, and people were staring at me. I mean, it was bad. Bad, bad, bad. But I was like, what are you doing? You know, like, you never. I just kept saying never over and over, and like my head was exploding, and I was melting down. Anyway, so I guess that was like a really long, rambly way of answering the question, which is to say, I think around 10, but it totally depends on the kid. It depends on the neighborhood we've lived in. It depends on like how many kids are out and if they're in a pack or by themselves or what. So what about you guys? Do you think that's going to be something that's...
Yeah. I mean, we're not there yet, but, I do feel like we're in a pretty safe street. We're on one big long street with no like cul-de-sacs or intersections, and we're right in the middle of it. So the only cars coming to our point in the street are usually coming to one of the houses, and they tend to slow down.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that those ages sound about right for me. And again, I usually pair my older two up. Yeah. Yesterday, actually, I sent them in daylight hours to deliver flyers because we're having a little potluck. It's actually my neighbor's having the potluck, but I designed and printed the flyers for her because she was working on our school's the big carnival. So I took that on. But I let them go pretty much up and down the whole street, which is out of my sight. You know, it was daylight and they were together. But I do feel like, like we talked about in our free range kids kind of independence episodes, which are 12 and 13, by the way, if anybody wants to go back when we talked about a lot of this stuff. It was good. It felt good to me to let them go do that. They stuck together. They're 5 and 7. But it was a ways. I mean, it was a long stretch. They can't get lost because it's one street.
Right.
And they weren't going to go to the busy street at the end. But, I feel like those ages probably sound right. I think my biggest fear thinking about it would be getting separated. And still, even when we're out with the kids, because it's so dark and there's so many kids that I feel like, Allegra's pretty conscientious, but I feel like Reed wouldn't be running away. He would just lose track of where, was around him. So if I wasn't paying attention, so he, you know, he'd have to be old enough where he knew to stay with a sibling, which isn't going to be real soon.
You know, and I would say too, like, I think that those ages, 5 and 7, like if it's in your neighborhood, especially, you know, when trick-or-treating starts here, I don't know how it is there, but it's broad daylight when it starts here. And then it gets dark. It gets dark pretty fast after that.
Yeah, fast. Yeah.
But like for the first 20 minutes, I've let little kids go through the houses around our house while I'm getting other kids ready or, you know.
That's a good idea. Candy. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
So just like within, you know, eyesight, but just like, hey, go next door, go 2 doors down, the other direction. And it's, I think it is kind of a kick for the kids sometimes to get to do that by themselves without having to go off, you know, go off and on
the adventure. No, that's a great point about kind of baby steps. And that brings up something else that I wrote about in the post last year that I'll link to, which is kind of teaching kids the etiquette or the manners of trick-or-treating. And this is something that I've always kind of had a big thing about, is if my kids are going to get candy from the neighbors, I want them to know how to trick-or-treat. Like, I feel like a lot of little kids get up there and just kind of stand there, and that's fine if they're shy or whatever. But I really make a big deal that they have to say trick-or-treat. I mean, we practice. Like, when somebody opens the door, you say trick-or-treat. When the candy basket is offered, I tell them they can take one unless someone specifically says, oh, you get two, or here, take more. You know, sometimes people do. But otherwise, you take one unless you're offered otherwise. And then you say thank you. And then you say happy Halloween when you leave. And that's like, they have their little script or marching orders. Because I do feel like as they get older, if they haven't learned that, then it is, I mean, you always kind of sucks to have open the door and have rude, surly kids. And sometimes it's just because they freeze up and they forget, but I do kind
of
make
it's part of the social contract, and they do, you're right, they do have to kind of, they don't just know it, they need to be taught it. And so you'll hear me behind my kids like, say trick or treat, say thank you, you know, it's like, and I just parroting it the whole time when they're little, but now they all know the drill and they know how to do it. So it's great. It's like, you don't know it until you know it. And they can't learn it unless they've had some guidance. So, and then some chance to practice.
Exactly. And I think going back to the independence thing is we definitely stay back at the curb now and don't go up to the door with them after they're, you know, 2 or 3 years old. And they have to do all that. If they want the candy, they got to go through that on their own. And we hang back at the curb. So I guess that's kind of another intermediate step before totally letting them go.
Does your neighborhood do a thing called booing, which was really big a few years ago?
Yes.
So we got so this is so funny. Like 2 or 3 years ago, we got booed. And we got all excited and we put together our own boo kits or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we went to the neighborhood. Like, really, our street isn't the best, but like, there's one street away that's fantastic. Like, you know, just a very neighborhoody feel, and everyone participates, and like, that's where the good candy is. And that's where, you know, a light's going to be on at every house during trick or treating. but all the houses had already been booed.
Oh.
So like the tryhards had the tryharders had booed everybody. And so I was like, well, now who am I going to boo? So I ended up booing some random house like on a different street. And it wasn't as fun because I thought these people are not going to have any idea what this is, because obviously this is like a neighborhood thing everyone's doing. But then no one did it last year.
Oh, that's interesting.
And no one did it this year. It's like it was just like a 1 year thing.
So if you've never been booed, basically it's like a surprise goodie basket on your door, kind of secret, like you don't know who dropped it there, and then you're supposed to pay it forward and do the same to a couple more houses. Now, when we got booed this year, I think it said to just do two, so you wouldn't you know, it's kind of like a pass it on. But the best part about this year is I actually know who booed us. It was a friend of mine, but it was when I was traveling to Michigan to hang out with you, and Brian did the whole thing with the kids. He went and got the stuff at Target. I got all these compliments the next week, like, oh, thank you for booing us. I was like, it wasn't me. And it was actually, they did a great job. I think he made it more fun than I would have.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
And I got home and it was done.
Yeah. So, nice. Yeah, that was nice, fun. Nice.
Okay, so how about teenagers? Should we talk teens?
Yeah, let's talk teens. Okay, so you know that this post that I've wrote, it's probably been 6 years since I originally wrote it. I wrote it for my blog, and then it went in the Huffington Post. So it gets reshared every year and it kind of pops back up.
Washington Post.
Yes. And then I'm always reminded, of it, like, because it'll pop up on one of my friends' walls. They'll be like, this is my yearly reshare. Yeah. But I basically wrote an essay about how tired I was of people being grumpy about teenage trick-or-treaters. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea that there's an age where they should stop, and that it's, you know, only for little kids. And I think that people who have little kids And it's kind of like how I felt about big kids playing on the playground when I didn't have any big kids.
Right.
Then
right.
I had big kids and was like, oh, they're still kids and they still get to play. And right. just because, you know, they're rough and loud doesn't mean they're not entitled to be on the playground.
Right.
And maybe a little scary to a toddler. So I think this was something I didn't really come into until I was out of that super protective
right.
my baby's phase and more into like trying to, you know, figure out how to let my bigger kids navigate the world. But anyway, there's so much grumpiness about teenage trick-or-treaters. And it makes me really sad because I feel like teens these days don't have a lot of childhood stuff to hang on to anymore.
Right.
You know, they grow up fast. They're in a really high-pressure environment in high school now, much more so than they were. They're expected to know and do things that are so adult, and they're still
right.
kids. And I feel
right.
like Halloween's for everybody. I mean, adults dress up too.
Right.
You know?
No, completely.
So, and adults go to adult parties, and adults do adult stuff, and teens don't really have that. They only really have the kid holiday. So I just don't see the big deal.
I don't either. I want to read this paragraph from this essay because I love it. And it's kind of what you just said, but, and then we'll point people in the show notes. But you wrote, nobody wants to dole out candy to sullen trick-or-treating teens who look like they couldn't be bothered to dress up. I get it. But let's consider for a moment that the kid who shows up on your door with no costume might just be longing for a bit of that Halloween magic. Maybe he can't quite bring himself to wear a costume in front of his friends. Maybe he's just a brat. I don't really care, frankly. I mean, the kids are asking me for a piece of candy, not a piece of my liver. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
I love that. And I think you hit the nail on the head, which is when you only have the adorable, chubby toddlers and preschoolers, teenagers
right.
are kind of scary. Like,
yeah.
just
yeah.
like, they're like a different animal and they don't behave like normal little kids.
Right.
But I think the reason people share that piece so much is you just kind of raised an awareness that not a lot of people had thought about.
Yeah.
And it is maybe the default to get grumpy about teenagers trick-or-treating at your door. But I will never think about it that way again. It's a great,
well, that's
a
nice
great
to know.
Piece.
And of course I prefer when they put some effort in and put a costume on. I mean,
right.
obviously we all want that for everybody who shows up at a door, like some kind of effort, but I just don't feel like it's not my place to really
right.
care that much.
To get on
I'm
a
not
soapbox.
Their parent, you know,
yeah.
it's a piece of candy. Big
yeah.
deal. You know, if they don't rob me, I'm not really worried about it. It's like,
right.
yeah, it's a one day. And the other thing I really think is special about Halloween and the reason I want it to be accessible to teens is I feel like it's sometimes the only time you see your neighbors, the only time you
yes.
walk up to someone's front door who you share a street with or
yeah.
a town or a neighborhood with and look them in the eye and say
yeah.
hello. And I want to know who the teenagers are in my neighborhood
yeah.
as well as the kids.
And for them to feel like they are a part of that neighborhood.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know, since our sponsor is responsibility.org, I feel like we can also talk about, I know when I was a teenager, Halloween was a big party opportunity
yeah.
for
mm-hmm.
teenagers in my town. So I grew up in Santa Barbara, which has UCSB like next door. It's really in
yeah.
like the next town. But UCSB has like a legendary Halloween weekend. I mean, they send in like LA riot cops
oh
to
gosh.
Manage Halloween
wow.
at UCSB. It's crazy. And that's the college scene. But when I was in high school, that was the cool thing to do for high schoolers was to go try and go to those parties, which of course, like now as a parent sounds terrifying.
Right.
And I never did that Halloween, but I know that my mom was very fearful that we would, or that we would go down there, or even when we were older, even
yeah.
when we were like college age. So it can be scary if the worst they're doing is trick-or-treating around the
right.
neighborhood.
Well, and if kids don't have, you know, if teenagers don't have age-appropriate options,
right.
then they'll look elsewhere for fun. And,
right.
you know, when I was a teenager, I remember, you know, dressing up in some skanky costume
mm-hmm.
and trying to go find parties because I didn't feel like I could trick-or-treat. That wasn't
right.
available to me. And I wanted to dress up and have fun and with my friends. And so, yeah, they look for other options. I would
right.
totally rather my teenagers were trick-or-treating. Now,
right.
ironically, after I wrote that piece, neither of my teenagers – well, actually, that's not true. Sometimes they will take their little siblings out.
Oh,
I think they
nice.
Like to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think that they necessarily care enough about it. I don't know. It's William is 12 this year. He just turned – actually, he's 12 today. It's his birthday today as we're recording. But William is 12, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. I don't
yes.
think he'll stop.
I love
think
it.
Owen and Will will be in it for a while. Jake and Isaac just kind of got over it probably around 14.
Well, I know I had a couple years where I didn't. It probably happens like the middle school years,
yeah.
the self-consciousness or just not feeling like – and then I like had one like – like last hurrah where I went trick-or-treating in full costume with some friends. I think it was my freshman year of high school. So it's like I almost sat out 12 and 13 and then at 14 I was back out there. Yeah. And I remember that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kids kind of come and go and
it was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that totally makes sense. Like, you know, coming in and out. And I think I did the same thing where when I went to college, I didn't trick or treat, but I definitely got more into dressing up again.
Yes.
For a while I just didn't really do that. So, you know, kids go through different phases and you might find the younger kid does that. And that's one thing too. Like I think sometimes it's hard for us to you know, like we have this attachment to something, like the idea of something, and then when our kids don't embrace it, that can be, you know, like a personal insult to us. You know what I mean? Like, what the dream of whatever holiday that I had from when I was a kid, you're going to do it that way. But I've had kids who were just not into Halloween one year, and then were more into it the next year. You never know; it can come and go.
Yeah, so. that's a really good point. So, what before we kind of start our wrap up, what is everybody being in this house, in your house this year? Does everybody have their costumes chosen?
Okay. So the thing is, I don't know what they are because there's some like anime characters and I have no idea. Like I know what they look like, but I don't know what they are.
Is this all of them? Are they doing
Jake and Isaac, I don't think are dressing up. Okay, if they do, they'll just grab something out of the box and put it on. Clara is still undecided. So we're recording this a week, you know, less than a week from Halloween, and she doesn't know what she wants to be.
Does she have a short list or is
she? She wanted to be like some kind of wildcat. Then she changed her mind. And those aren't costumes that are easy just to make, you know?
Right.
She thought about being a panda, which would be cute and easy to make. I think I might steer her in that direction.
Yeah, because I love it when they are steerable.
Yes, I think I could, and she would be an adorable panda.
Yes, she would.
I think I could probably get her to go for that. So that's what I'm going to push her toward. But I, you know, it's not unusual for us to not know until the day or two before.
I think that's kind of fun. Plus, the kids can change their minds too if you do it too early. Yeah. I've always told my kids I will buy, I don't always buy a full costume. It depends on what they want to be, but I will finance one costume per year. If you change your mind, you get the dress up in. Like you don't have to wear that, but I'm not, there's no buying something else.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. 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 And I try to stay away from like the Halloween store kind of environment anyway. Cause I just, you go in there and you drop a whole bunch of money. The costumes are crappy and mostly really age inappropriate, I find.
Yes.
And so we just kind of like pick and like we'll go to Target and they usually have a few cute things and
Or you can kind of start with what you have and then buy an accessory or two.
Yeah, exactly. That as well. So and we're having our yearly adult party and the theme this year is 80s movies. So I'm not going to give away. I don't know if any of my friends or family listen to the show, but most of us have secrets. So I'm not going to give away what I'm going to be, but I will say that both John and I are going to be different Tom Cruise characters.
Oh, that is awesome.
So different movies, different 80s movies.
I just pictured John from Risky Business for some reason, and I don't want you to confirm or deny.
That was on the short list. I will not confirm or deny. But I have a feeling like I'm kind of now the costume keeper. So people are letting me know what they are because there was so much at first. There was a lot of people wanting to be the same things. And I don't care if, you know, people show up as the same thing, but people were worried about it. So now I've become kind of like the costume whisperer. And so people are, you know, what do you think of this idea? And then without giving anything away, I have to say, well, you might want to consider blah, blah, blah. So
I love it.
Yeah, oh it's going to be a lot of fun. And I actually wanted to circle back because of our sponsor, responsibility.org, I do want to just like talk about that really quick.
Yeah.
Because for us, you know, Halloween is an adult affair. And we have an adult-oriented party every year, in which there is alcohol. So I feel like, you know, I do feel like I've heard more lately about like Halloween trick-or-treating being like a drinking thing. Like I remember a few years ago, someone was talking about carrying a wine glass from house to house and, you know, and getting a refill at every house they went to.
Gosh.
And I'm like, I just kind of stand like in the middle, like the houses I've known, I've known neighborhoods where that kind of thing happens. It tends to be like a development where it's on a cul-de-sac and these are little kids going to like 10 houses. So it's not like mom's walking around getting sloshed. Right. You know, you're getting like, you're probably having like the equivalent of a glass of wine and it just makes it more fun.
Right.
On the other hand, I guess I can see how turning it into like a big drinking holiday can really take away from the safety aspect and just like the fun for the kids. So I tend to take kind of a middle ground. Like I don't feel like I have to be so invested in making everything awesomely magical and fun for my kids that I'm not allowed to do anything like adult for myself.
Right.
I don't want to be like that about it.
Right.
I just think that there's always balance. And so for us, you know, we've always managed to keep the two separate, like trick-or-treating is one night, the adult party is a different night. Mm-hmm. This year we're combining them, but we'll do all kid-oriented stuff early in the day. Then after mm-hmm. trick-or-treating, we're taking them all over to my brother's house and getting a sitter and leaving them there and then coming back to the house for the adult party. So I just, you know, I feel like with a little forethought,
yeah,
it's not hard to figure out a balance.
No, I think that's a great, I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, however alcohol works in your family culture, mm-hmm. normally, I think the holidays are.
Hello?
A chance to just kind of reinforce those values. Right. So if people drink alcohol to celebrate in your family, then there's nothing wrong with that. But kids can see over time those responsible behaviors, like, you know, taking them over and getting a sitter because it is an adult party rather right. than having them come in and out trick-or-treating while the adult party is going on.
Right, so exactly.
I think kids pick up on those values over the long term.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good
I
point.
Agree.
Yeah, so where does this, where, yeah.
Did we cover everything?
Oh, I was going to tell you what my kids are being for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, 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 sorry.
No, we got off track. So I have a Hermione from Harry Potter.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's very cute. And we were really
adorable.
Into the Harry Potters earlier this year, so that one. And then Reed is a reptile scientist. By the way, do not Google snake handler Halloween costumes,
ew.
FYI.
Okay.
Because
it sounds like it's going to be dirty.
It was dirty, and I did not picture that at all. I didn't have the right words to. He just is like, he loves reptiles and snakes. So he's going to wear this cute little like safari, kind of like the crocodile hunter type mm-hmm. look. And I glued little plastic snakes around his hat. Like it looks like he's just a snake That's scientist nice. Guy. Really cute. And then Violet is Minnie Mouse. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
One year, this reminded me. Oh, go ahead.
No. If she keeps the costume on. She likes to put it on, but then she likes to take it off like 5 minutes later. So we'll see.
That's adorable. This reminds me of one year when Jacob couldn't decide what he wanted to be. And it was like the last minute. I think he was like 7. And it was the last minute. And I'm like, Jacob, you just got to pick something. We had this huge, you know, the bin, all the stuff.
Yeah.
Out. So he decided to be Halloween man. And he just had like all the, he just put like pieces of every costume on. So we had.
That's awesome.
Like a mask and a hand, like a robot hand that we had and a cape. And then like a t-shirt with like a skeleton on it and all this crazy stuff. And he was just Halloween man.
I love it.
Awesome.
I love it.
Sometimes kids can be very creative about that.
Totally. Stuff. Totally.
Yeah.
And like waiting till the last minute is almost a way to encourage that because
yeah, exactly.
there's no like licensed character costumes coming out of the bin at
right,
the 11th
exactly.
hour.
Exactly.
I love it.
Well,
so
should we wrap it up?
I think so.
All right.
Going to be a fun week of Halloween stuff. I'd love for people to tell us what their kids are going to be or what your Halloween traditions are. I wanted to point people to the show notes. I know we talk about it all the time. We say we'll link to this in the show notes, but I know there's people out there who are listening pretty exclusively on their smartphone, like through a podcast app. And if you never make it over to the website, you should come on over. So we always link to the things we talk about. You can just find us at themomhour.com. Once you get to themomhour.com, you'll see a list of episodes. So if this is the most recent one, this is episode 25, you'd link to that show right there. You can browse past shows. But people leave comments there. We can continue the conversation there. There's also a link to sign up for emails so that you can be emailed when a new episode airs. And then when we have our awesome sponsors like responsibility.org, all of their information is there. So you've been listening on your phone, which is awesome because that's super convenient. But do take a minute to stop over at the show notes and tell us hi and check out the website and find us that way too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And leave us a comment. I mean, we've been getting so many great comments and emails. We love
yes.
it. It keeps us. It keeps us going.
Keeps us going. It feeds our souls.
It feeds our inner egos. No, just kidding. Well, maybe a little bit.
I love it. Well, happy Halloween, everyone,
happy Halloween
and to you guys. And thanks to responsibility.org for sponsoring this episode and conversation. And we will be back in November.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it'll be a new month.
So sounds good.
See you in a week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.